Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, on Tuesdays, we try to spend a little time with some not-for-profits that are making a difference in our community each and every day. There's no government agency that has enough assets or resources in order to backfill the needs in our community. We talk about this a lot. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. Because these folks are truly difference makers. They engage in these activities just out of the kindness of their heart, and they give back to our community, to those that are less fortunate than we are. And today's no different. We're joined by Palmer Montalbano, Executive Director of FAMCOR Foundation. They have the Hams for Fams project that they engage in every year. I think this is the 11th year, if my memory serves me correct. Palmer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, thanks for having me and giving us this opportunity to talk.
So, Palmer, tell us a little bit about the organization, how this started, and where you guys are today.
Absolutely. So this Hams for Fams was actually, the project started first. I was in high school with some friends of mine, and we thought about for Christmas, and a lot of places do toy donations, and they'll give goods in that way, but we thought about how everybody also gets together to eat with their family, and you know, how nice is it to play with a toy if you're going hungry. And so we got together that first year, you know, 11 years ago now, and collected some donations, fed about 20 families, but the need was larger, and we just kept growing from there. So we're now up to 300 families each year, so about 1,200 people, and it's really evolved. We continue to recruit high school students who do most of the logistical work. So they'll call the families and they'll organize and get everything together. And my role now has been more of just guiding and leading them.
And it's really great because, you know, in most of the high schools, you have to give service hours, and I can't think of a better way than doing exactly what you guys are doing.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, most of the kids who volunteer with us and who help out, they're getting way more hours than even they need. They want to give back, and it's really great to see how many young people want to do that. And that's part of the exercise too, is we're hand delivering these baskets. We organize about 200 volunteers to come drive them out throughout the city. And it builds community beyond just the meal itself. You get to meet people you wouldn't meet, see parts of the city you don't normally go to. And it spreads some of that Christmas joy as well.
So these meals are made up of what?
The meals are made up of hams, as you can imagine, but as well as a ton of other Christmas food items. So we'll do mac and cheese. We'll have items to make a salad. We'll do a little dessert like a pie. We'll add potatoes, the kind of whole spread, red beans and rice. Also some things that some of those items you can use beyond Christmas. You know, a lot of these families, mm-hmm. especially kids home for Christmas, they don't get those school meals. They can make that stretch throughout a couple weeks.
Right. Would you know, 11 years in, I mean, it's just so wonderful that it continues on. I'm sure you still have some of your original group that are still involved in this, right?
Oh, absolutely. A large portion of our group are some of those original founding members. And we've had a lot of, you know, my younger brother, when we first started deciding, hey, how do we keep this local and how do we keep it going every year? And we've first trained up some of our younger siblings from the first group. And then, again, now we got these rotating high school groups who come in every year. But it's great to see. We celebrated last year 10 years and invited all of the kind of original members and people who've helped us throughout the years. And most people stick around. So it's great to see.
Yeah. Now, you guys will be getting together, I think it's St. Catherine, on December the 22nd from noon to 2, and on December 23rd from 9 to 2 at St. Catherine of Siena at 400 Codifer Boulevard in Metairie. And that is what you call packing day. And I guess that's when y'all put all of this together?
Yes. So on the 22nd, we'll pack all of the non-perishable food items. We order most of our food items from Canseco, and they're gracious to help us out with the food orders. And St. Catherine's great at letting us operate there. And so we'll pack those on the 22nd, and on the 23rd, we'll finish packing the perishable food items that we'll get that morning. And then volunteers will come, you know, take those boxes of food, load them up in their cars. They'll do about, you know, 2 to 4 families, a volunteer group, and they'll drive them out. If anyone listening is interested, sign up online on our website, hamsforfams.org. We'll tell you what time to show up and give you assignments on where you'll be driving out.
And of course, you guys need donations as well, because a lot of these items y'all actually go out and purchase, I would imagine. And they can donate online at www.hams4fams.org, and help consider keeping this going. Your fundraising goal is to raise $30,000 to be able to provide these meals for roughly 1,200 individuals, 300 respective families, which is not an easy undertaking. I mean, that's difficult.
Absolutely, yes. That is the goal. This is as grassroots as we can make it. So most of our donations are somewhere around $20, and that every year we've been fortunate enough to hit the goals to feed these families. And we've run a lot throughout the years. You know, we always want to do more, but we do a great job. The kids do a great job of stepping up and handling problems when they arise, and making sure that these families get the food that they really need, especially this time of year.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
I just want to, again, say thank you, and thank you to everyone who supports us and to the people of New Orleans. This is something that keeps me tied to the community. It's something that makes me super proud to be a part of. And, every year the generosity of people and the joy that they can spread no matter what's going on in the world, it's these moments that give me hope and really keep me going, day in and day out. So, again, thank you, and thanks to everyone who supports us.
Well, on behalf of our listening audience, keep up the great work. We really appreciate it. My audience really understands the notion of giving and how important it is for not-for-profits to backfill on so many different fronts out there with so many people that have needs. And again, folks, if you would like to donate, you can go online at www.hamsforfams.org, or you can also sign up and help participate for Packing Day, which will take place December 22nd at 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and December 23rd at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. right there at St. Catherine of Siena, 400 Codifer Boulevard, Metairie, Louisiana. Palmer Montabano, thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful holiday season, and best of luck with the Hams for Fams endeavor.
Thank you so much. You as well.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Give us a shout. We'll be right back.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we're going to be out at H2O on Thursday and would love to have you come on by and help put smiles on children's faces. So we'll be at H2O Salon and Spa, and we're looking to collect toys, books, donations for the U.S. Marine Corps' Toys for Tots program. Stop by, say hi, and bring an unwrapped gift. And let's fill up the sidewalk with toys. We'll be out there from 10 to 1 at 441 Metairie Road, H2O. It looks like the weather's going to cooperate with us, and you can be part of the hope, the joy, and the spirit of Christmas for our kids in our community, and make sure that we have the toys necessary. It's always a great opportunity to visit with Holly out there at H2O, the incredible staff out there that really buys into this program as well, and it's really a wonderful experience. And also want to remind everyone that we believe in the power of everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows you love. Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, myself, Scoot, Sports Talk. Plus the local content you crave on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. A lot of people ask about my monologue every morning. If you're not able to listen in at 10, you can catch it right there on the Odyssey app and listen to it. And listen to any of the special guests that we have as well, as we try to cover a whole broad and diverse topics that both are at international, national, state, and local, you know, of what's going on in this country. And we try to do that each and every day. All right, when we return, we're going to visit with Tiger Joyce, the president of the American Tort Reform Association, and we'll talk about the top judicial hellholes and what a hellhole, judicial hellhole, is in the United States. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the American Tort Reform Foundation's Judicial Hellholes report was released this morning, where it highlights the worst lawsuit abuse of the year across the nation, homing in on 8 hot spots. We visited with them last year. They're back again this year. We're joined by Tiger Joyce, president of the American Tort Reform Association. Tiger, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Joel. Thanks for having me on.
The report was released this morning. If you would, for the benefit of our listening audience, articulate what is a judicial hellhole?
Well, it's a jurisdiction could be an entire state, as is the case with Louisiana, or might be a particular city, like number one judicial hellhole is Los Angeles, California, where we believe that the civil justice system just is doesn't work properly, or that the problems and the excesses are such that we believe that for a lot of defendants, that equal justice under law, which is etched in the facade of the Supreme Court of the United States, we believe is not served or not adequately served. And we hope that the report, by highlighting issues and challenges and problems, can serve as a catalyst for reform, as it has done in both Florida and Georgia in recent years.
Now, Louisiana engaged in some aspects over the past several years with tort reform. Your thoughts about what they were able to achieve or not achieve?
Yeah, I think there have been some improvements, and I think we acknowledge that in the report. And, you know, quite frankly, we like to highlight improvements. I think that if you read our segment on the watch segment, which is where we have Louisiana now as a state in one capacity, it recognizes that fact. And that's important. Our understanding from talking to allies around the state is that I think more needs to be done, and I think there will be efforts to do more. I think another question, though, more broadly, when we're looking at sort of the staged accident issues and the costs and burdens of commercial and individual, consumer transportation, is that more needs to be done. But it's also a question of, how will the courts improve or implement, I should say, the changes that were enacted. And that's going to be something that we're going to watch carefully. That's an important part of the report. We like to acknowledge when there are improvements, and we just hope that there will be more.
Tiger, in your review, I mean, there's multiple parties that are involved in any tort action, right? And one to include whether it's insurance companies, health insurance companies, or whatever. Are you reviewing the practices of all the players that are involved in the transaction?
Well, we try to. I think we have highlighted sometimes, and we've seen examples around the country of abuses where various health providers can collaborate closely with personal injury lawyers. And the question really becomes, what procedures are necessary And what's the actual cost incurred? I mentioned both Georgia and Florida. One of the centerpiece elements of both of their reforms was to ensure, you know, that rather than a so-called billed amount, you know, which oftentimes from a healthcare provider can be quite significant, but especially for those who have health insurance, you know, what is the actual amount paid, you know, to handle a particular matter? You know, it might be whether it's a hospital or other medical provider organization, you know, the billed amount for the person walking in and off the street might be quite high, but that, you know, an individual's health insurance might resolve the cost of care and treatment for a significantly lower amount. And from our perspective, I think most people would agree, you know, that the amount that's actually paid should be the, you know, the amount that's involved. So that's something that we do focus on. That's an important priority. It's not to suggest that there can't or shouldn't be treatment, but that really what is the underlying cost. And there have been a lot of studies over the years about what we would refer to as defensive medicine. And sometimes, you know, providers will take steps to ensure that, you know, that they're guarding against the potential for litigation. And we've seen in some of the worst case scenarios, we highlight these in the report, where there are procedures and matters that are done simply to run up the costs. You know, so insurers have to try to police that. And then, you know, of course, insurers have to pay claims.
Yep. We visited with you guys last year. I know there were a number of observations about Louisiana. So this year, where did we rank and what does it look like?
Sure. Well, we actually did sort of put Louisiana in two categories. I mentioned the, you know, in terms of the matters we've been highlighting previously, a number of them we put on the watch list, which is similar to what we've done for example, Georgia, which enacted significant reforms this year. What's different, however, say in comparison to Georgia, is that we've been highlighting the so-called coastal litigation over the years, and that's sufficiently problematic in and of itself that led to our placing Louisiana also at judicial hellhole number four. So it's sort of dual status, which is a bit unusual in our report. But given the very, very large award, and I guess it was Plaquemines County, Parish's award against the number of energy companies, we have sufficient concern about the underlying matters in these cases. You know, we ATRA, my employer, we have filed an amicus brief to the Supreme Court of the United States, supporting the view that these cases don't belong in state courts. They can trace back to developments, you know, going back to World War II, in coordination with the federal government. We think that there's a retroactivity aspect to these lawsuits that are highly problematic. And from the standpoint of your listeners and all your consumers in Louisiana, you know, this is an industry that's vital to your state's economy. And so these lawsuits seeking to establish liability, you know, I think it was former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr in a letter that he sent to Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrow, you know, highlighting the problems with this. It's, as he referred to it, as potentially ruinous retroactive liability, you know, for an industry that's vital to your economy. And, you know, it raises questions about, you know, where the cases should be brought. And I think we could point to, you know, President Trump's executive order, where his administration's priority and focus on preserving and protecting the development, energy development in the country, is to guard against, as he suggests, as his order suggests, you know, inappropriate overreach by the states to limit energy production. Might have had some other states in mind when he did that, But nevertheless, I think it's relevant to the analysis here. And we're very concerned about these cases and the precedent that it sets, but most importantly, the impact that it could potentially have on the state and the economy in Louisiana.
As you outline this case just now, do you tend to see the nature of this type of case more in the environmental spectrum as opposed to any other legally?
Well, we do see it in that area. We're seeing it, litigation suggesting, for example, that energy companies are the cause of climate change, and that they should be required to pay for that. You know, our view is that if the federal government were to determine that there should be some sort of a tax placed on energy producers, you know, that's not a policy issue that we would address. I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that. But nevertheless, that would be a more appropriate way to try to address this. But we're seeing any number of issues, whether it's suggestions that plastics are not being recycled, climate change, as I said, climate change cases, and a number of cases, you know, analogous to the theories that are at issue in the cases in Louisiana, the Parrish cases, I think are highly problematic. And at the end of the day, our view is that litigation should exist to resolve problems and disputes. It shouldn't be our way of handling broad-based public policy issues. That's for elected officials and people who are accountable to all of us, whether as appointed officials or elected officials.
So you guys spend a lot of time as well quantifying the impact of what you describe as judicial hellholes. Tell us about that, and in particular, the impact to the greater New Orleans area.
Yeah, that's right. We highlight a report that's prepared by an expert firm that evaluates the impact of lawsuit abuse. And I think it raises an important question. First and foremost, it's that, you know, that these are not academic or you know, lawyerly issues, that the excesses and the burdens of lawsuit abuse and problems in the civil justice system do affect consumers. The study that we would cite to is particularly powerful with regard to New Orleans. And for easiest way to put it is for a family of four, the cost, the so-called tort tax, is in excess of $8,000. You know, with the discussion about going on around the country on a bipartisan basis about affordability, those are real costs. It may not be immediately apparent and discernible, but they underlie the costs and burdens, you know, that we face. Because at the end of the day, the excesses are, you know, businesses, and if they can continue in business, will pass on costs and burdens to consumers who ultimately pay them. And that's why this is important. And, you know, I think that it's important for your listeners and others to recognize that this is not just a legal or litigation policy matter. It is it's a matter that ultimately affects consumers. And in the judicial hellhole jurisdictions, sometimes, you know, more significantly than others. I was just speaking to some folks in Los Angeles, and it's almost double that amount in Los Angeles, what it is in New Orleans. So that shouldn't be great comfort to the people in New Orleans, but it demonstrates that where the problem is most pronounced, the burden is most discernible, is more profound.
And I guess the most immediate way that it tends to reveal itself is relative to insurance premiums, right?
Well, I think there can be that, yeah. And I think that what we've seen, for example, in Florida right now is some of the reforms that were enacted there a few years ago were so significant and I think so targeted to some of the worst abuses that as a result, insurers have been able to lower premiums. But more importantly, it's clarified the market. It's allowed the market to, the insurance market to firm up so that you could have reinsurance available as insurers need, as the initial carriers, you know, always want to have. It clarifies responsibilities, and it's really made, it's made a difference. There are some reforms. The only reason I mention this is because sometimes there can be some reforms which are helpful but may not have that direct impact on insurance rates. But we have seen examples, and I think even early examples in Georgia, where I think some carriers have indicated that the enactment of reform is such that they're going to be able to lower rates. One of the challenges in this area, though, is that a lot of times these efforts, whether it's in the legislature or in the courts, get challenged, or there might be cases seeking to have them overturned for constitutional reasons. And for it truly to be effective, it's going to take, it often sometimes takes time to work through the system, and may have to survive some judicial challenges as well.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point too, right, Tiger? I mean, we always look for the immediacy of something. We want, you know, immediate gratification and impact. But the reality is that a lot of the policies and practices that make up a judicial hellhole has a tail to it, and it takes a while for cases that already exist to work their way through the system, and those continue to have an impact as y'all quantify these numbers, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, a good example of what you just said is a couple of years ago in Florida, right before this very significant reform package was signed into law, which was actually drafted in an unusual way in that it went into effect the moment that Governor DeSantis signed it. But there were tens of thousands of lawsuits were filed in the days leading up to that so that they could have been filed under the previous terms of the Florida civil justice system. That has worked. They have begun to work. They've largely worked their way through that, and the system has improved. But yeah, there can be a tail like that, and it's the potential, as I said, for challenge. And ironically, even though the law in Florida, the package has had great success, there have been efforts to repeal or significantly weaken some of the provisions in the legislature, which I find somewhat confounding, especially at this time frame. But that's always a possibility in the policy in the public arena.
And I guess we all fall prey to it. I mean, even I'm aware of it, and you know, and you sit here as a radio talk show host, and you're looking for the outcomes, right? And you want to see them, because you spend a lot of time talking about them, but it's hard to quantify and to pull out what that tail actually is. And then, as you point out, you're upon the next legislative session, and you have all the folks that were anti those remedial measures going back, trying to defeat them and water them down yet again.
Right. That's certainly a possibility. And, I think each jurisdiction is a little bit different in terms of how it plays out and so forth. But I think nothing is ever sort of fully resolved in this arena, you know, whether it's a positive change. I think we at ATRA always say that, you know, when once reforms are enacted, there has to be vigilance in ensuring that, you know, that it's not weakened or worse or repealed.
So as you look at, I know a lot of this is done at the state level and in the representative state legislative bodies across this country. Are you seeing, you formerly worked in Congress. I think you were the legislative assistant to U.S. Senator John Danforth. What are you seeing coming out of Congress at all relative to these issues?
I think there may be some specific items. One of the issues that we're hoping that the Congress will tackle is what we call litigation funding, third-party litigation funding. If you're as old as I am, and, you know, when I went to law school, you know, the idea that an investment firm could take a sort of a formal stake and role in litigation would have been unthinkable. But the reality is that litigation funding has become very much a part of the legal landscape. I think there's some hope that maybe Congress will do something on that front. I think they actually tried to do something from a tax standpoint as part of what is the big, beautiful bill earlier this year, but it was stricken by the parliamentarian. So I think whether it's that or addressing the potential for foreign sovereign wealth funds or sovereign wealth funds investing in litigation, I think there may be some interest there. I'm not going to bet the mortgage, the proverbial mortgage, on what Congress may or may not do, however, but I think that's one area where I think it's
inherent. You're a wise man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I know it better than most, having worked up there. I wouldn't bet on it either.
Yeah, my line about that is that it was so long ago that I worked in the U.S. Senate for some great senators, including principally Jack Danforth. It was so long ago, it was back when they used to legislate. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how this is all played out. But when you think about it, when you talk about this third-party financing, if you're good at what you're doing in assessing the judicial climate of whatever jurisdiction these cases fall in, when you think about the amount that you can make on the recovery, it's far greater than the profit rate of most other risky investments, right? I mean, it could be a damn good return.
Yeah, well, there's a lot that we don't know, because I think with maybe one notable exception, you know, there's not a lot of transparency about that. And that's, I think, one of the key issues. But I think from our standpoint, you know, sort of beyond the underlying case, when I go back to, as I said, you know, many years ago when I was in law school, the theory was, you know, that you shouldn't have a third party taking an interest in litigation. The real question comes down to who drives the litigation if you have an outside investor, and what role does that institution or individual play in the mm-hmm. you know, in the case. You'll hear this notion of, well, no, we just put the money in, etc. But I think it remains to be seen if that is the case and or will continue to be the case. But you know, I think that's really the sort of the acid test about the role of outside funders in these matters.
Yeah. Well, look, as a lawyer, I always say you go back to human nature, and human nature is you're looking to make the most that you can make on any particular investment. I can't imagine people sit on the sidelines and just sit on their hands and say nothing. I've not seen that happen many times in my lifetime either. Tiger Joyce, always a pleasure to speak with you, President of the American Tort Reform Association. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That's Tiger Joyce, president of the American Tort Reform Association. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Equinor Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with Steve Krim, president of the American Foundation, a project of Common Sense America. And we're going to talk about a new national initiative, if you can believe this, to expand the capacity of American cement manufacturing. Because it turns out that we import a bunch of cement here to this country. And in the back half of the next hour, we'll visit with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A. We'll talk about the city budget, JIRR, and ICE raids. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.